Inside on Business, the News Hour with Michael Libby is brought to you by Manpower of Central Iowa. Manpower, 62 years of finding great people for great companies, manpower.com, and Des Moines Computer Repair. You want your computer to work, and that's what they do, DesMoinesComputerRepair.com.
Hey, it's 13 minutes now before the top of the hour. Let's talk wine, shall we? We've got Ron Mark in studio. Ron is the owner of Somerset Winery. Been in business a long time, one of the early pioneers at this whole wine business here in Iowa, and had the opportunity to hang out with Ron a couple of weeks ago at the Strudel House, where they were doing an all-Iowa dinner, Iowa-sourced meal, and of course with Iowa wines. I think there were seven courses and seven different wines, and Ron was there to explain each and every one of them. Welcome to the News Hour, Ron. Good to see you.
Well, thanks for the invite.
Well, you know, this is you've been in business since what, 97?
Yes, that's when we opened to the public in 1997.
So what changes have you seen in the wine industry in, gosh, almost 20 years?
Well, when I got started, there was primarily the amount of colonies.
Really?
There wasn't a lot of interest in growing grapes. Iowa State University basically told me you can't grow grapes in Iowa. And but I knew we had, and we did, because my folks grew grapes, and I used my mom's grape juice to make wine.
Hmm. So you've been at this for a longer time.
Yeah, I was an ornery teenager.
And making wine.
You don't have to be 21 to buy yeast.
Well, as I understand it, and you might know the history of this, Iowa was a wine exporting state for quite some time, especially through, you know, Civil War and afterwards. Is that accurate?
Yeah, in 1920, Iowa was the sixth largest grape producer in the United States.
Really?
And we had wineries on the Mississippi and on the Missouri rivers, and we were shipping wine downstream. So, yeah, we had a good wine industry going before Prohibition.
And then that happened and it all left town.
Yes.
Yeah.
And after Prohibition, there was no coming back for quite a while. So eventually, though, they changed all that. But unfortunately, the corn farmers started using a 2,4-D herbicide that decimates vineyards, and so it wasn't a good business to be in.
Now, during that time period, and you bring up an interesting topic, you're in Indianola, you've got your vineyard there. Are you still concerned about issues with regard to runoff, or not more importantly, spray stuff that happens?
Yeah, we worry about aerial sprayers. We've identified ourselves as a no-spray zone with the Department of Agriculture.
Okay. And I don't know the answer to this, but there also seems to be some real concern about honeybees and bees in general. Are bees important to the wine industry with regard to growing grapes? I don't know, so I'm just asking the question.
No, grapes are self-pollinating.
Okay.
There are some varieties that do need pollinators, but most grape varieties pollinate themselves.
If you've got a question for Ron Mark from Somerset Winery, you can hit us up on Twitter. It's at @IOB_NewsHour. That's at @IOB_NewsHour. So when you were first in the business, and I think I had this conversation with you while we were at Michael Leo's place at the Strudel House, wine in Iowa tended to be relatively sweet. And I'm sure it was because of the grape varieties that were available at the time. That's changed somewhat, quite drastically, actually, over the past several years. Why is that? How is that possible?
Well, we've discovered the French hybrids. The northern tier of the United States all grow the same type of grapes because you have to grow something that will survive the extreme cold. So we have some varietals that New York grows and Michigan grows and Pennsylvania and Ohio. And Missouri grows some of these also. And they survived, well, 20 below zero is a must, right? And so we grow the French hybrids that were established back in the early part of the last century. And the French had introduced American grapes to Europe. And we have a disease in our grapes called phloxera that will choke off the root system of the European varieties like Cabernet and Merlot and all of those. So subsequently, they ended up grafting all of those types of grapes onto wild Native American rootstock, so all the grapes in Europe are grafted.
Really?
So the French were a little incensed about this, so they started crossbreeding, hybridizing, and they come up with new strains of grapes. And because they're crossed with the wild grape from the Midwest, the Riparia, they have got a cold hardiness to them. So we can grow those and make very wonderful wines.
And now, when you do that, are you getting your grapes, your vines or your plants, if I can, are those domestic or do you get them from France? Or how does that all work
out? No, there's nurseries here that are crossbreeding. Okay. Are taking those.
I would think.
Actually, the University of Minnesota now has a program where they're breeding strains of grapes, and we're growing Minnesota hybrids down here, too.
What are the most popular wine grapes that are out there?
Well, of course, all your Californias are popular, but I think about 80% of Americans drink sweet wines.
Really?
85% of Iowans drink sweet wines. So our Concord, which is an
old
type of wine,
yeah,
is one of our biggest sellers, and it's also one of the biggest sellers for some of the other wineries.
Hmm. When people talk about a dryness in a wine, what are they talking about? Is that a tannin issue? Is that the type of grape? How does it get to be dry?
Well, tannin is actually an acid, so if you have a lot of tannin, you're gonna get some more acidity. The French hybrids are somewhat low in tannin because they're a crossbreed, and subsequently, when you make those wines, you're going to get a little less tannin. You're going to get a little less tannic acid. You're going to get a little more fruit because of that, and so you're going to get what's considered fruit-forward wines. But dryness basically means you have fermented, so there's no residual sugar.
Got it. As we look at the business model of Iowa wineries and Iowa vineyards out there, there was a pretty hefty growth in the number of vineyards all of a sudden, and it seemed like everybody, let's put a vineyard up and let's start bottling wine, and some weird names came up from all over the state of Iowa. Has that mitigated somewhat, that rise in wineries, or is it continue to add one or two or three every year?
Well, it's changing all the time.
Yeah,
but I started putting on seminars back in 2000 to get people to grow grapes for me. Because I was growing very fast, and so I had like 160 people show up. They all went out and planted grapes, apparently. And now we've got 324 commercial vineyards in the state.
324 commercial vineyards. That's amazing.
And 5 years later, a lot of those people decided to have wineries, so we got 101 wineries now.
So, yeah, why not go from growing them and to stomping them, right?
Right.
On the wine production, is this, when you're in business as a winemaker, how do you figure costs and of the wine? Do you have to stay in a certain level? I mean, is there a price point that Iowans look to, or is it all over the board?
Well, it's all over the board, but I calculated what it cost me by figuring out the cost of equipment and diesel and everything else it took to grow the grapes and the sprays and the harvest and all of those things, and put it all together with the price of a bottle and a label, and came up with a figure, and then I jacked it a little bit to make some money.
Sure. Well, the cost of doing business, right?
It's going to be different for everyone.
It would be different for everyone. How many acres do you have of vineyard?
My vineyard is only 12 and a half acres, which produces like 33,000 bottles of wine.
33,000 bottles.
And if you think about value-added farming,
yeah,
that's 33. That's a lot.
Yeah. It's more than a bushel of corn right now.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Ron Mark, ladies and gentlemen, is our guest. He is the owner of Somerset Winery. How many folks work at Somerset?
Well, I sign about 16 paychecks a week. We have all the events, remote wine tastings. We have 9 full-time employees, commercial account reps and marketing people. And we've gone from being a garage winery to being one of the biggest in the Midwest.
Well, I know that one of the things that you folks do down there in Indianola is your Sunday event. And that's been a real popular thing where people come down there and listen to music and drink a little wine and have conversation. Where did that idea come from? Was that a necessity to get people on the farm?
Yeah, it was kind of slow on Sundays.
Yeah.
So we thought we'd get one of the little local bands from the high school, and we would have those folks come out and play, and maybe we'd get their grandparents and their relatives might come out and listen to them. My wife did a news release on it, and everybody in the county showed up, and we found out we were onto something.
Yeah, and so that has only grown. How many years have you been doing the Sunday thing now?
17 years, I think.
Really?
Something like that, yeah.
Yeah, well, it is a destination point for a lot of folks on mm-hmm. Sunday afternoons to go down there and just kind of relax, kick back, and enjoy the time. Well, when we talk about marketing wine, what's the biggest challenge for a winemaker to get it in the stores and get it purchased and move it through the retail system?
When I first went to Hy-Vee to ask them if they would carry some local wine, they said, "Do you have a wine rack?" And I'm a carpenter. I says, "Sure." Yeah. So I started manufacturing wine racks.
Okay.
And I ended up taking them into every Hy-Vee store that would take one, and I'd deliver 600 bottles of wine at a time. And they wanted to carry an Iowa product.
Well, they're very big on that.
Yeah, but, you know, after a while, you had all these new wineries bringing in their wine racks, and so they had this cluster of wine racks, and so finally corporate Hy-Vee decided to get us a wine section. But for a long time, I never tried to really push our wine because I didn't have enough wine.
Mm.
So we made them beg for it.
And how long does it take from picking that grape, stomping the grape, to making a good quality wine?
Well, we can do a white wine in about 4 months. Red wines, we oak those and we leave them aging for a little while and put them out after about 7 months or 8 months.
Do you forward contract any of your sales? I'm just kind of curious. I mean, do if you say, okay, we're going to make 30,000 bottles of wine, do places out there, restaurants or retail, do they say, oh, we're in for 10,000? Do they forward that?
Nope.
No, nope. Not at all.
Not at all.
It's supply and demand.
Well, we're in competition with everybody else.
Yeah, I bet you are. You know, one of the things about the Downtown Farmers Market and several other places, a lot of wineries do these tastings all over. Is that one of the best ways to get people to at least try what you've got?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
We do a lot of tasting all over the state. We have set up with different stores so that our people can go in and introduce people to the wine. Get it in their mouth. They will love our wine.
How much of the importance of people going to a wine is the educational process of this? This is the kind of grape this is the kind of wine it is, this is what it's going to taste like, this is what it pairs with. Do people care?
It's all about what you like in your mouth.
Yeah, yeah. Ron Mark, ladies and gentlemen, Somerset Winery, thanks so much for coming in and chatting with us a little bit about this.
Well, thanks
we
for
certainly
the invite.
Appreciate it, and we will podcast this so folks all over the country will be able to hear more about Ron Mark and Somerset Winery, a pioneer in Iowa wines. Thanks so very much for coming by. Appreciate it. Ron Mark, ladies and gentlemen, from Somerset Winery of Indianola, one of the pioneers in the wine industry here in the Hawkeye State. For Gary Kubicek, who joined us earlier talking about the business of pet foods and humanization of pets and all that entails, my name's Michael Libby. Have yourself a wonderful evening. For Tyler Hackenmiller, and we've got Mary Sayer and Jimmy Olson and Mark McDowell, all the folks who work behind the scenes here on the News Hour, we're grateful for their support, and we're very grateful that you tune in each and every day from 5 until 6 o'clock. We're out of here. Be safe, be well, be careful. Most of all, be good to your fellow man. Good night.
Where the legends live. A Des Moines Radio Group station.
KRMT, Des Moines.